It's 4 years since hundreds of Indigenous leaders signed the Uluru Statement from the Heart, calling for a constitutionally enshrined voice to the Parliament. In response, the federal government has created a co-design process, but that process put to one side the question of actually whether to enshrine the voice in the Constitution or simply create it via legislation. Now, a new report released today has found that 90% of the 2,500 submissions have supported constitutional enshrinement. Damien Carrick is speaking with Professor Gabriel Appleby, the author of this report, and with Professor Megan Davis, one of the signatories of the Uluru Statement.
You can't easily dismiss this extremely high and highly unusual level of civic engagement with this interim report process. This is not common in Australian law reform, and it's not common to have over 2,000 submissions from ordinary Australians saying that they want their voice heard at a referendum, that they want to have their say. Well, it is right across the board, you know. And so for me, I'm really just blown away by the civic engagement. This is active citizenship, right? This is Australians becoming engaged in one of the greatest law and policy challenges of this country.
Okay, so Gabrielle Appleby, if I can bring you in here, what did you find?
We undertook this independent analysis of what was in the end more than 2,500 public submissions to the government's co-design process. That's an extremely high level of public engagement for a law reform process. I think most strikingly, we see that 90% of the submissions demonstrate support for constitutional enshrinement of the First Nations voice. Now, when you read the submissions, and myself and the co-authors have read all of them in writing this report, you see a wonderfully wide cross-section of the community represented, from really important Indigenous groups and land councils to big business and big corporates, as well as from individuals from all walks of life. And they're all supporting constitutional enshrinement. And when you read them, what's revealed is they all have their own texture and flavour and reason why they're supporting a constitutionally enshrined First Nations voice. Some submissions say that a constitutional voice is needed because it needs to be guaranteed against abolition by a future government. A woman from Wollongong in her submission says, "I've observed what occurred to ATSIC at the hands of a hostile government. Legislated bodies can be unlegislated at a whim. The voice to Parliament needs to be secure, consistent, and an inalienable right for First Nations people." A lawyer in South Australia said that it's only through a referendum that will result in the education of the Australian public that the voice's legitimacy will be guaranteed and can never be denied, and its rightful place in our Parliament cannot be ignored. There's a submission there from a couple of primary school students, which was prepared alongside their entire class who submitted to the process. They say, "First Nations people should have a say because everyone's voice and point of view is important and it should be listened to because they have been here for 65,000 years. So they are no different than anyone else."
Does this suggest low support for a legislated voice or a legislate first option?
Yeah, look, the submissions reveal very low support for a legislated voice or an approach which is sometimes referred to as a legislate first with constitutional enshrinement to possibly follow. So there were a third of the submissions that explicitly state that a referendum on the voice should be pursued as a priority before the establishment of legislation. And the submissions go into a lot of really persuasive reasons as to why that's the case, and why a legislate first proposal would mean that you would be highly unlikely to ever achieve constitutional enshrinement. You'd lose political momentum and you would lose this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity of constitutional recognition for First Nations.
Megan Davis, armed with this new information, where do you want to take the national conversation?
So we say that this senior advisory group and the interim report, we say there's a lot of meat on the bones, and the report will show more meat on the bones. We say there's enough there to pull together some kind of model to say to the Australian people, this is what a voice would look like, but we would like to enshrine the power for the Parliament to enable a voice. And so we say we would like an enshrined voice to Parliament via referendum, and that the report is enough meat on the bones to go to that after they finish and submit their report to the Prime Minister.
That's Professors Megan Davis and Gabrielle Appleby speaking with Damien Carrick, and you can hear more about that and the 2,500 submissions to that co-design process in the report. It's going to be released in July, that conversation on the Law Report with Damien this afternoon at 5:30 right here on RN, or of course anytime as a podcast.